Welcome back. The long-awaited integrated resource plan, known as the IRP, has been published. It outlines the country's long-term energy investment plan to 2030. But does it address the energy crisis we're facing right now? Because if it doesn't, does it run the risk of being another objective, just like the National Development Plan that is nice to have, but struggles to be implemented? Joining me for a closer look at all of this is Jones Sekondo, Senior Credit Strategist at Nedbank CIB. Jones, thanks so much for your time today. So right at the top, before we get into the detail, what's your assessment of the IRP as a whole? Has government managed to satisfy stakeholders?
Hi, thank you for having me. I think the government has, in many senses, tried to address the concerns from a disparate group of people. On the one hand, you have unions who have a vested interest in keeping the energy sector in its current form. And then you have new entrants that are, in effect, disrupting the sector, which is in renewables. And the tension between the two is where government has tried to square it away to say that there's a just transition that they're trying to target in balancing these competing demands. But at the end of the day, for SA Inc., the issue is to try and get energy security and energy sustainability at least cost. From a technical point of view, the technology that they're proposing does fit the technical specifications, but now it's really become a point of, can we afford the plan that's been put forward?
Okay, so we're going to get into all those details, and stakeholders seemingly happy for now then, but some analysts say that it's a long-term plan and it doesn't really address what's happening on the ground right now, given the difficulties Eskom is currently facing. Do you agree with that?
I do agree with that. I think what we've seen is that Eskom has a very severe liquidity strain, which really makes their sustainability and life move from budget to budget. But here we are trying to plan an energy future that is pretty much 10 years in advance. And it's very difficult to reconcile the very real need to sort our energy stability today versus balancing the long-term need for the future.
Will the Eskom white paper, which is supposed to be published relatively soon, perhaps fill in the gap between what is happening right now and what the IRP envisions? Because if Eskom can't guarantee energy security today, it doesn't then bode well to plan for this energy future that the IRP is projecting.
Indeed, it needs to, the white paper does need to speak to two things. Operationally, it needs to look at the unbundling that the president has spoken about quite a bit. And in that unbundling, is to create space for new generators, which is envisaged within the integrated resource plan. But if you think about it from a longer term perspective, is that demand is set to fall, and they've tried to create space in the IRP for self-generation to fill the gap. The Eskom white paper needs to look at least an investor's point of view, to say if revenues and demand are falling and the debt is not, how do we bridge the gap? And we think that between the Department of Public Enterprises and National Treasury, they need to come up with a plan on the side of the debt, and whilst the operational side needs to look at energy security.
So is it then fair to say that the IRP in itself doesn't really boost South Africa's investment case?
It for now, it doesn't, because there's some unanswered questions. Because if you think about the current crop of renewables, the monopoly buyer of the energy is Eskom. And if you look at it from a credit perspective, that it's the risk is not worth being exposed to Eskom. There are government guarantees for IPPs in case of a breach of those power purchase agreements. But if you look at it in totality for the fiscus, we're looking at the National Treasury facing the bill on both ends. And so the reorganization of the industry needs to address the credit challenges and create an investment case that is more tangible for investors. And I don't think the IRP completely does that. It points to it, but we need to see the details, I'd imagine, in the white paper.
So we'll have to wait and see how that all pans out. But implementation is surely going to be something that's very closely watched in terms of the IRP, because we do have a controversial history around energy build programs. So it won't be just about getting the job done. It'll be about how we get the job done as well, right?
That's correct. If you just think about the fact that on the one hand, there's scope for private sector to pick up the drive, and we've spoken about sort of the guarantees that need to be made to make an investment case that can be implemented. But on the side of the legacy assets, those are set to be decommissioned at a fairly rapid pace given the age of our plants. And you can imagine that at every step, different stakeholders will have take issue and take umbrance with perhaps the pace at which it might happen. And so the IRP has left a lot of space for ministerial determination to either accelerate or decelerate the pace of this. And I think that's just to accommodate the potential pitfalls of trying to implement as planned.
Okay, so given all of that, can we afford the IRP though?
In totality, as government, no. I think the fiscal constraints are quite severe. I think where they're hoping and is that the private sector might pick it up and that the IRP itself gives enough confidence for an investment case. What we can't afford, though, is not to pursue some of the short-term measures, which are aimed at trying to put stopgaps, about 2,000 to 3,000 megawatts need to be plugged to stop load shedding and to keep the system stable. And so on the one hand, we can't afford not to pursue some of the measures, but it still needs to be quantified exactly how much is on hook for the government to pursue some of these infrastructure plans.
Jones, thanks so much for your time today. Let's leave it there. Jones Gondo is a senior credit strategist at Nedbank CIB.